In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now here Paul gives us the three basic facts of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, Christ died for our sins. And this was, as he adds, according to the Scriptures, according to the teaching and the prophecies of the Bible. Jesus died for our sins. Number two, he was buried. There's no question about that. It is a matter of history. It is a matter of fact. Jesus was buried. Number three, he arose again the third day. This is also a fact of history. And the Bible says it is according to the Scriptures that Jesus rose again. Now, these are the three facts that we're studying right now from the Gospel according to Luke, in Luke chapter 23 and in Luke chapter 24. And so today we're going to begin in Luke chapter 23, and we'll pick up at verse 55 this morning. We do want to welcome you to the broadcast. We appreciate your tuning in this morning, and we hope that you can get your Bible right now and follow along with us as we examine these basic truths about the gospel of Jesus Christ, truths that are essentials when it comes to Christianity. Luke chapter 23, we'll begin in verse 55 in just a few minutes. And at this point, we have already seen that Jesus has been arrested, he has been beaten, he has been scourged, he has been sent to Calvary, and he has been crucified. And at this point that we're looking at right now, he has died on the cross. So the first fact of the gospel that Paul mentions has already occurred. Jesus died for our sins. He died in order to give us salvation from our sins. Now, folks, we're going over these basic facts because people need to hear them today. People who are skeptics need to hear them. People who are unbelievers need to hear these facts. People who are Christians need to hear these facts because we need all of the assurance. We need our faith reinforced because we live in an unbelieving age, an age in which even the foundational elements of Christianity are being challenged and they're being denied. There are people out there today who say that they don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. There are some religious people, and I'm talking even about people who claim to be Christians, who claim to believe in Christ, and yet they do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. There are even other people who say that Jesus never existed. I was just looking at a debate that was held several years ago in which an atheist said that he doesn't believe that Jesus ever existed. And yet what we find, folks, is that a man that would say that goes completely against the facts of history. You know, when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're looking at four separate accounts of Jesus' life, his death, and his burial and resurrection. And these are inspired accounts. But even if a man is not to the point to where he accepts them as inspired accounts, at least he ought to look at them and consider them as records of history. But not only that, we also have some witnesses outside of the Bible who say that Jesus did live and Jesus did die, just like the New Testament tells us. Now, for instance, we have a historian, a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus. Now, several of you have heard that name before. This man was a first century historian. He was not a Christian. And yet this man, who is a Jew and not a Christian, wrote these words. He says, "Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, that is Jews, had condemned him to the cross, those that love him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day." Now that was a Jew, not a Christian, who wrote that about Jesus Christ. Did Jesus live? Did he die by the sentence of Pontius Pilate? This unbelieving Jew said that he did. But let's go to another one. There's a man by the name of Publius Cornelius Tacitus, who lived from the years 55 to 120 AD. In his work, The Annals of Imperial Rome, Tacitus describes the lives of some of the emperors of Rome. And in one section on Nero, he talks about the suspicion among Romans that the emperor himself started the fire that consumed much of the city of Rome. Now here's what he said. "To suppress this rumor, Nero fabricated scapegoats and punished with every refinement the notoriously depraved Christians, as they were popularly called. Their originator, Christ, had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate." So here is a Roman, an unbelieving Roman. He's not a Christian. And he admits that Jesus lived, and he also admits that Jesus died by the sentence of execution from Pontius Pilate. And there are other sources that confirm what we're saying right here. But these are just some interesting facts of history, folks, that show that any time that a man today is brazen enough to deny that Jesus lived, much less that Jesus rose from the dead after he died, is a man that is turning his back on the simple facts of history. And so when we get to Luke chapter 23, we're looking at something here that is absolutely confirmed by all these historical evidences. And when we look at Matthew's account and Mark's account and Luke's account and John's account, we see some circumstances that absolutely confirm that Jesus was dead when they took him down from the cross. You see, that was why the soldiers went there and they broke the legs of those two thieves to make sure that they would die. And when they got to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. And they didn't break his legs, but to make absolutely sure that Jesus was dead, one of them took his spear and pushed it into Jesus' side. He pierced Jesus' side. Well, if Jesus was not dead at that point, you see, he would have been dead after that. But he was dead at that point. And the Bible says that they knew then that Jesus had already died. And of course, when he was taken down from the cross, the people knew that he was dead. He was wrapped in strips of linen. Those people that handled the body of Jesus knew that he was dead. And when they put him in the tomb, they also knew that he was dead. That's why Pilate agreed that the Jews would be able to place guards there to guard the body of Jesus Christ. So when we get to Luke chapter 23, here's what we see, beginning in verse 55. And we're going to go down into chapter 24 today because we have already established that Jesus died on the cross. That's the first major fact of the gospel. Now we're looking at the fact that he was in fact buried. And we're not talking, of course, about digging in the ground and burying him with dirt over him. We're talking about him being placed in a sepulcher. We're talking about him being placed in a tomb. And here's what the Bible says after he died. In verse 55, "And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid." And then after that, in verse 56, "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." So you see, the law of Moses is still in effect here. Although Jesus nailed that law to the cross, technically it is still in force, and practically speaking, it is going to remain in force for some time. So these Jews, these Jewish women, now remember that the Bible here is talking about these women in verse 55 and 56, the apostles. Those men are not going to be brought into the picture until just a little bit later. Right now we're talking about these women, and the Bible says that they obeyed the law of Moses. They rested on the Sabbath because the Bible had given that commandment. But now in chapter 24, verse 1, we find something interesting. In chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." So Jesus has risen from the dead. And he did that on the first day of the week. He did that very early. He arose from the dead very early on the first day of the week. So you see, you have the Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week, the last day of the week. And then the first day of the week, which is our Sunday, is the day that Jesus arose very early in the morning. Now, there's something interesting here that I want to point out. And that is Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the first day of the week, which again is our Sunday. Later, sometime after this, the Bible says that the disciples were assembled together secretly for fear of the Jews, and Jesus appeared to them. Now, that's in John chapter 20. They have assembled on the first day of the week. And then when the church begins in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost Day, did you know, were you aware of the fact that Pentecost Day occurred on the first day of the week? And so the church, the kingdom of God, was established on the first day of the week. So is it any wonder then, is it any surprise that the Bible says that the first day of the week is the day that God commands Christians to come together in the worship assembly to glorify and to worship Him? In 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him." And then in Acts 20 verse 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." So the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week does not prove in and of itself that we must worship on the first day of the week. But it is interesting to notice that pattern that seems to be developing here. That is, that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and then you have the disciples assembling together or gathering together on the first day of the week, and then you have the church established on the first day of the week. And then in Acts 20 verse 7 and also in 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2, you have the fact that Christians are told to meet and to worship on the first day of the week in that local congregational assembly. Now, what we're going to do tomorrow is to talk more about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We're going to talk about different theories that people have about it, in which people really deny what the Bible says, and that is so useless, it is so futile, because it is a plain fact and teaching of Scripture that Jesus rose from the dead, and it is a necessary part of Christianity. The Bible says that we must believe in our heart that Jesus rose from the dead, Romans 10 verse 9. But we're going to look at some who deny that, even some who say that they are Christians today, and even some who claim to be biblical scholars. So we hope that you'll be tuning in tomorrow morning at this same time so that we can study together. And until that time, we hope that you have a great rest of the day.